أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تأكلوا الربا أضعافا مضاعفة واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Shazib, can you pass me my sticky notepad? It's right on the table. Like my yellow thingy. It has the notes. Yeah, thank you. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Oh, those who believe. Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Oh, those who believe. لَا تَأْكُلُ الرِّبَا. Don't eat up riba. أَزْعَافًا مُزَاعَفَةً. Doubled and multiplied. So this is one of those ayahs in which Allah bans interest, right? Interest in financial transactions. So Allah does not ban your interest in good things, right? Interest in the Quran, interest in studies, interest in helping your parents. Allah bans what type of interest Allah is banning? Financial interest. Interest in financial transactions. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu. Oh, you who believe, do not eat up the amounts acquired through interest. La ta'kulu riba. So the word riba means interest, right? Financial interest. And you young people, do you know what interest is? Shahzeb, do you know what interest is? What is interest? Right. If you take a loan from someone, and then he says, okay, you take 1,000 from me, but you give me back 1,500. What is that extra 500? That's interest, that's riba, and that's banned, and it's a very big sin, right? And the Prophet ﷺ has said that the one who takes interest, or the one who gives interest, or the one who's witness to interest, or the one who writes interest, all of them will go to hellfire. This is how severe this interest is. And then in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says that the one who stays on with this interest, he should understand that he is waging a war with Allah and his messenger, sallallahu. So this is not a, it is haram like any other haram, but it is a very severe haram. This interest, that the financial interest. So Allah Ta'ala says, do not eat up amounts acquired through riba. لَا تَأْكُلُوا الرِّبَا أَزْعَافًا مُزَعَفَةً. أَزْعَافًا doubled. مُزَعَفَةً multiplied. What is doubled and multiplied? How does interest become doubled and multiplied? Compound interest is doubled and multiplied, right? So you take a loan from somebody for 10,000 and during your lifetime, you have already paid about 50,000, but you're principal is still there. So that means you're paying multiplied amounts of interest. So Allah Ta'ala says doubled and multiplied, right? وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. Fear Allah. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So that you can be successful. There's a question here. Some people argue that, look, in this ayah, Allah Ta'ala says, this interest which is doubled and multiplied, this is banned. Small amount of interest is not banned. Interest rates have gone down these days. I don't know if you guys know this. It's about 2 to 3% these days. So a lot of people are taking lots of loans from banks because it is at a very low rate right now, right? And so people argue, okay, low interest rates are fine. They're not doubled and multiplied. They're very small amounts, right? But in another ayah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and you look here, in Surah Baqarah, Ayah 278, 279. If you can go up, Maqsood. This is what the transit. Give up of whatever still remains of riba if you believe. When interest was completely banned, this was the ayah that came down. That whatever riba you have, even if you have riba of 1 penny, 1 paisa, this is haram, right? So not only doubled and multiplied is haram, all of interest is haram, right? And there's a background of this ayah. Maqsood thoda piche jana padega. The background of the ayah is that the army of the kuffar, which were fighting the Muslims, they were financed by interest-bearing loans. And because the Muslims found out that, you know, they are, you know, they're increasing their weapons by taking loans from, which are interest-bearing. So this was about to give Muslims also the idea that we should also take some loans. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits taking any loans, any interest-bearing loans. And this verse was to warn the Muslims not to use interest-bearing loans. So this is the background of this ayah that we see here, right? Now, the first question is that is only doubled and multiplied riba haram? And we gave the answer that no, all of riba is haram. Even a single penny of riba is haram, is not allowed in Islam. Now, a lot of people take loans from the bank. Most of the industry runs on interest-bearing loans. So what? So how do we take people out of interest? So the scholars, after deliberating for many, many years, they came to this alternate solution for Muslims. And what is that alternate solution? Islamic banking. So if you have Islamic banking, then you have interest-free, you can take interest-free loans, right? And some people have this question. Well, when I go to Mizan Bank and when I go to Dubai Islamic Bank, all the things are the same. I get this, I fill out the same form, I get the same ATM card, I get the same facilities, same loan structure, same security deposit, all of these things. You can get, you know, whatever, security certificates, saving accounts, all of these things are the same. What is Islamic about Islamic banking? So some people say there's nothing Islamic about Islamic banking. And the scholars argue that Islamic banking is very Islamic, right? And why do they say this? Because people who question Islamic banking, they say, well, even the interest rates are the same. Whatever your interest rate you get at the conventional bank, you get the same interest rate in an Islamic bank. So what is the difference? Well, it's very simple. The difference is that it has matched all the things of the conventional bank, but it is not like the conventional bank. And let me just give you a very small example. Some things are not allowed in Islam and some things are allowed in Islam. So what Islamic banking has done is it has taken all those things that are allowed and made a sketch so that it matches the conventional bank. Now, I want your attention. How does it work? Let's say you take a car from an Islamic bank. And the car is, let's say, you know, 1 million rupees. That's 10 lakhs. Now, what the bank does is, the conventional bank does is, it gives you a loan for 10 lakhs. And it says, you give us an interest of whatever, 10%, and you pay us back 11 lakhs next year. This is a hypothetical example, right? What does the Islamic bank do? Islamic bank says, well, no. We buy the car, right? We buy the car for 10 lakhs. And in the next 1 year, you buy it back from us in small portions. So every month you pay us 1 lakh, hypothetical again. But on top of that, you pay us 1 lakh 10,000. So at the end of the year, the amount is going to be 11 lakhs, right? So if you look at it, it's the same amount, but what the Islamic bank has done is that it has bought the thing and it is reselling it to you. So it is not giving you an interest-bearing loan. It is just buying a thing that you wanted. It is selling you at a higher price. So this is allowed in Islam. Riba is not allowed in Islam. So some people say this is just like, you know, you're not, you're actually holding your ear from this side, or are you holding your ear from the other side? But my argument and this argument of the scholars is that, you know, this is what it is. Now, if you go to Burger King in Pakistan, you know, the setup and the taste of the burger is the same as Burger King UK, right? Even the salad is the same, the bread is the same, the piece of meat is the same. So the taste is the same, the environment is the same. But here the meat is halal and there the meat is not halal. So although the taste is the same, the environment is the same, but one is halal and the other one is not halal, and we'll agree, yes, I'm not going to eat Burger King in UK, but I'm going to eat Burger King here in Karachi. So this is the same thing. It looks exactly the same as any other conventional bank, but the theory, the theoretically, it is Islamic. You're not charging interest, you're buying something and you're sending it back at a higher price. And that higher price matches with Kaibor or whatever, it matches with the interest rate. So a lot of scholars, they are behind this Islamic banking. And it is our duty to actually promote Islamic banking. So the people who are in conventional bank, who are in something which is very haram, right? Because riba is a fight with Allah and His Messenger. So we should be supporting this Islamic banking. Now, having said all of this, not all the scholars are in line with Islamic. There are scholars who disagree with this Islamic banking concept. So there's disagreement among the scholars as well. A lot of scholars actually, they say that, you know, the model of Islamic banking is still not complete. And why? Because the scholars have taken some, because we in Pakistan and in India and Bangladesh and Afghanistan, we are all Ahnafs. We follow the Hanafi rulings, right? And to make this Islamic banking work, you know, to make it efficient and workable, what the scholars have done, they've taken some of the rulings of the Maliki Mazhab as well. So there's actually some disagreement among the scholars that this is not purely Hanafi model, right? So this is another question on Islamic banking. But I can tell you this much, we as the normal people, we will not be questioned whether it was 100% halal or not. We will be questioned as to, did we follow the scholars or not? The scholars are taking responsibilities, so the responsibilities is off of our shoulders. The other thing about Islamic banking, the other dark side of Islamic banking is that if you agree that the theoretical model is correct, the implementation of that model is still not 100% in all the banks. Some banks, they, although in theory they agree, okay, fine, we'll take this model, but they do not actually follow the model. So when they don't follow the model, this actually ends up being a little un-Islamic. So these are some of the points about Islamic banking, and we're moving towards the right direction. So I think Muslims should actually participate in Islamic banking, and they are actually. And I've talked a lot about it because it is one of my favorite topics as well. But one more thing, and then we'll move on to actually today's topic. In the last couple of years, for the last 2 years, there's so much investment being done in Islamic banks that some of the banks have actually stopped taking investments for people. This is how much people have shifted from conventional banks into Islamic banking. So this is something which is very acceptable to Muslims all over the world. And it is a very, very beautiful way out from something which was haram. So it might not be the best thing, but it actually at least takes you out from haram. If you are in conventional bank and you have crores of rupees of loans, you know, that you've taken from conventional bank, and then you're paying haram interest on it, when you go towards Islamic Bank, at least you come out of something which was haram. So this is a very, very viable, beautiful alternative that the scholars have provided the Islamic world. So this is all that I have to say about Islamic banking, because we're talking about this ayah about riba, and riba is one of those sins. Interest is one of those sins that has been denounced in the Quran very, very heavily. So some sins are denounced, but the way riba has been, denounced, and riba has been, shut off in Islam is unparalleled. No other sin has been called that this doing this sin is a war against Allah and His Messenger. And then in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that eating riba is similar to doing fornication with your mother. This is how big a sin this is. So that is why interest is very heavily banned in Islam. One should be very, very careful about interest. Now, there's a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever eats haram has filled his stomach with fire. So one has to be careful about what you eat and what you're not. Is your earning interest free, or is it filled with interest? This is a question. And the scholars are finding ways to help us get out of this. And such scholars should be actually encouraged as opposed to discouraged. Now, we move on to the next thing. The downside of taking riba, of consuming interest. If you have haram income, this is what the Messenger, this is what the Quran says. Ya ayyuhar rusul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directs his ayah towards the rasuls, towards the messengers. Ya ayyuhar rusul, kulu min tayyibatin. Eat out of the halal and pure things. Wa'amalu saliha, and then do good deeds. It means if you eat halal, then you will do good deeds. And if you don't eat halal, and if you eat haram, your body will automatically go towards haram things. So in English, there's a saying, you are what you eat. So whatever you eat, that's what you are. So, the saying is for people to be, this saying is concerning more towards health, that if you eat healthy food, then you will be healthy. But this actually really fits this thing also, this halal and haram thing as well. But if you eat halal, your body will be willing to do halal things. And if you eat haram, then the body will not be willing to do halal things. That is why sometimes you just don't feel like worshipping Allah. You don't feel like making dua. Why? Because the haram is having its effect on you. So if you eat haram, this is what happens. You're not able to do good deeds. The body just is not ready to do good deeds. So now, I've mentioned this story one time before as well, or maybe a few times before, that we used to be in the US, and in Washington, D.C., there was a masjid. And the masjid committee decided that we should also have Quran classes in the masjid. So they started Quran classes for the Muslim community, and all these Muslim children, they came to study Quran. So they would go to school in the morning, and they would come to the masjid to study Quran in the evening. And among the students, there was this one boy who was a valedictorian of his school. Valedictorian in the US is like the one top student of the school. So he was, because he was Muslim, his parents also brought him to the masjid. Now, when they came to the masjid, they figured out that not only he was the valedictorian of his class, he also got a presidential award from the US president of that time. It's a very, very, intelligent young boy. And he came and he took admission in the Quran class to read, to be able to read the Quran. and he was in the class for 6 months and he was not even able to finish the first two pages of the Qaida. So the parents became very concerned, and the, you know, the masjid people also became very concerned. So parents complained that my child is a valedictorian, he's very intelligent, he scores, you know, very good numbers in school. How come he's not able to read the Quran? And the masjid people, they asked the teacher. The teacher said, well, he's always very attentive and all that, and he gives his whole time. We also don't understand why he's not able to read the Quran. So then the masjid committee asked other parents that how's the teacher? Maybe the teacher is not performing well. And all the parents said, no, the teacher is very good. Our child is doing very well. So then there was a question why the child is not being able to finish this Quran or read the Quran. Finally, the parents came to the masjid and talked to the masjid committee. And the masjid people, they asked them, okay, what does the child do from the morning to the evening? The mom said, well, in the morning, I drop him to the school. And then I pick him up in the afternoon. When he comes back home, then he showers and eats. And then I make him do his homework. And then I take him to his karate class. He takes karate classes, you know, and then he spends a couple hours there. And by Maghrib time, I bring him to the masjid. So at Maghrib, he's at the masjid. Between Maghrib and Isha, he studies the Quran. And then at Isha time, his father comes to the masjid as well from his job. And we all pray Isha prayers in the masjid. And then we go back home. When we go back home, sometimes on our way back, we eat. And sometimes when we go home, then we eat. So the masjid committee people, they ask, okay, what do you eat? Sometimes we go to Pizza Hut, and sometimes we go to Domino's, and sometimes we go to whatever, you know, one of these McDonald's, one of these chains. So the masjid people were surprised. Was all these things in the Washington, D.C., all of these things are haram. So they said, well, that's what we eat all the time. So then the masjid people said, maybe this is the reason why your child is not, you know, is not able to finish the Quran. So then the mother promised, okay, fine. I will make sure we'll buy halal food. We'll buy halal meat, and I'll cook halal meat for him in my house. So then the mother started cooking food at the house so that the food is halal and so that the child should be able to read the Quran. Same child who had not finished two or three pages of the Qaida in 6 months, in the next 6 months, he was able to finish the whole of the Qaida and the whole of the Quran. So that means if you eat halal, your body will perform halal things. And if you eat haram, then the body will be more inclined towards haram things. So this is a very, very serious situation. Just one last thing that I have to mention about this halal and haram. Sometimes we think the only thing which is haram is, you know, when you eat non-halal animals. For example, we consider pork as haram. Or sometimes we say, okay, dog is haram, donkey is haram, we should not eat this meat, this is haram, everything else is fine. This is not the case. If you steal something, that is also the earning from stealing, the earning from misuse of power, the earning from deceiving others. For example, if you're selling this thing and you say this thing has lots of qualities, you know, it is one of the best. And then it is not really one of the best. Now you've lied to sell this. The income that you earn is not halal anymore. And the scholars have said, let's say if you are an employee and you say you're going to work 8 hours, and then what you do is you work for 4 hours, then you procrastinate for 4 hours. The income for that 4 hours of procrastination, according to the scholars, is not halal. So much so that the scholars have said this, that next class, there you go. The teacher gets a very nice piece of clothing, right? He says, this is for you, my teacher. Even this is haram. Why? Because this gift is not given through this happiness of the heart. This gift is given because you're forced to give this gift. So not only donkey and dogs and, you know, lizard and pork is haram. These are all, this is a list of things which we should be careful that we should not consume. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to eat only and only that which is halal and to refrain from that which is haram. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I'll do the translation one more time. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. O you who believe, la ta'kulur riba. Don't eat a riba, interest. Az'afam muza'afatan. Doubled and multiplied. Wattaqullah, fear Allah. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you may be successful. We stop here. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ وَأَكْرِمُ الْجِنَّ. الحمد لله رب العالمين, الصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ولسانا ذاكرا وقلبا خاشعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء. وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة الله.